Here they are.
What?
Morning students. Yes. Hey, I think I'll start backwards. Annalise, good morning, Annalise.
Good morning, Annalise. Father.
Can you tell me what you learned from last week's class?
Last week, I learned that forgiving the sinner and forgiving the sin is two different things. Forgiving the sinner is to keep loving the person even though he has hurt you. It's not letting go of the memory, the hurt, or the anger. And forgiving the sin is to confess your sins to a priest. And I also read about St. Jane Frances de Chantal and her story on forgiveness. Her husband was severely injured, and before dying, he forgave his murderer. But St. Jane Frances de Chantal had a hard time forgiving her husband's murderer, but eventually she forgave him so completely that she became the godmother of his child. And wow. I also learned that the saints, there's a lot of quotes about the saints talking about forgiveness. And one of them is from St. Thomas Aquinas, who says, "Nothing so likens you to God as to forgive him who has injured you," which means that since God forgives us, then when we forgive others, we become more like him.
That is beautiful. Very good. That is one big happy face. Now, I did make a big deal about the cultural idea of forgiving, letting go. I'm not denying it. I'm not saying don't. Okay, I'm saying it misses the essence of what forgiveness is. It's not saying enough. Okay. It's not that it's completely wrong, okay, but it's not right. Okay. All right, good. Let's see here. I'll just go, just whatever I want. Okay, Emiliana, what did you learn?
Okay, so this week, Father Francis, I learned that Jesus told us that everyone is commanded to forgive. I learned that the definition of forgiveness is to keep loving the person who hurt you, whether they intended it or not, to desire that they become a saint, and to be willing to pay any price for them to get to heaven. And I also learned that a layperson can pray and offer sacrifices for those who need their sins taken away, for priests, and that I also learned that confession, baptism, anointing of the sick all take away sins. And then I did some research. You brought up saints who were over the past 2,000 years who forgave their enemies. I found that Saint Maria Goretti, she was stabbed 14 times. As she lay dying, she forgave her attacker, and she expressed a desire for him to be with her in heaven. And then Saint Edmund Campion, he was a priest during the time of the Catholic Church, the persecution in England with Queen Elizabeth. He was betrayed and arrested, and he was visited by his betrayer in the prison cell where he was at. And he forgave his betrayer and actually gave him a letter for him to leave England and stay with a Catholic family. Wow. And that's what I learned.
Good job. That's another happy space.
Thank you, good. Father.
You're welcome. We're off to a happy start here. Let's go with the Perez's. We have Liliana. What did you learn?
I learned that in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, St. Stephen is a good example of forgiveness. He preached about Jesus. He preached about Jesus to the high priest and to the council. But his words angered them, and they wanted to stone him. They wanted to stone him to death. And as they were stoning him, he said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them.
And who was that?
Saint Stephen.
That's right, the first martyr. Good job. All right, Liliana, yes. And Melina, what did you learn?
I learned that in John chapter 20, Jesus instituted the sacrament of confession on Easter Sunday in the upper room. Confession is a healing sacrament. It takes away sin and restores grace.
To forgive sins, right? The forgiveness of sins in the sacrament of confession does that. Good. All right, Melina, good job. And who else is in that first row? Rebus. Where are they? Alessio, he's not here, right?
He's taking a test right now for his English.
Did he do the homework,
and I had them all do the homework from last week, which they did not do.
I'm doing the one.
Okay, please wait your turn, baby.
Okay, Bethany, what did you learn for last week?
I learned that God is the one that can forgive sins. God gives his apostles the power to forgive the sinners. To forgive the sinners. And why do we go to confession? Because to get our sins taken away. If we go to confession, that means we must feel bad for the sins that we have committed.
Jesus gave the apostles the power to forgive sins. Okay? The sinner is already forgiven by God. God just keeps loving the sinner. Okay, that's not why you go to confession. You go to confession to have your sins taken away. Okay? So there's a difference between forgiving the sinner, that's what you said, and forgiving the sin. Forgiving the sin, that's in the sacrament of confession. All right? Okay, Bethany. Mara, what did you learn?
I learned Father was that we are commanded to go to confession to get our sins taken away and to restore grace. And
yes.
God is the only one who can forgive sins. Jesus gave the power to the apostles to forgive sins.
Good. So the priest can't forgive sins?
No, he can.
Then why do you go to confession if the priest can't forgive sins?
He can.
He can't.
Yes, he can.
Yeah, he can.
The priest says, I absolve you. He doesn't say Jesus absolves you. The priest says, I absolve you. The priest has the power to take away sins given to him by Jesus. Okay? All right, a little sloppy for both of you. Okay. Hey, Aaron, what did you learn? Aaron.
What did I go to confession?
No, you have to speak slowly and clearly so Father can hear you.
Yes.
Confession? Yes, we have a sorry hall and we skip this confession. Absolution.
Okay, that's how.
I keep forgetting our solution.
We go we get absolution, right? Yeah. Okay, why do we go to confession?
Why do we go to confession to be more like God?
I don't know.
He said, why do we go to confession so we can be more like God? And he said that we go with a sorry heart and the priest gives absolution.
All right. Okay, now we finished the first row. We're into the second row. Joseph Reviero. Joseph?
Father, so I was here late last week, but I did the homework for last week and this week.
Okay.
And sorry. I learned that forgiveness is in the will, and that one example of forgiveness is King David to Saul, because Saul, he was his enemy, but David forgave him, even though he had a chance to kill him. And that in confession, God is the chief. God is the chief efficient cause, and the priest is the instrumental cause. And that also sorry, what did you say, Father?
Look at me. I don't want you reading.
Oh, sorry, Father. Also that there are two conditions to a good confession. To that the priest has to give absolution, and that you have to be truly sorry for your sins.
Good. You've been speaking quite well every time you told me what you learned. You keep that up. This is really good, especially your first year within my class. Thank you, Father. You're welcome. Okay, we got the Santanas. Haven't seen you since Sunday. Let's start with Andrew, who's going to be confirmed this year, right?
Hopefully, yes.
Okay. Tell me what you learned.
I learned that you can forgive the sinner and you can forgive the sin. And you can forgive the sin in confession, and that baptism and confession takes away all your sins, and the mass can take away your venial sins.
That's right.
During the penitentiary. Hey.
Who takes away your sins?
Jesus through the priest.
That's right. Good job, Andrew. That sounded good.
I also learned that the role model in the Old Testament for forgiveness is King David. As Saul, he was going around trying to kill David, and David had multiple chances to kill David, and he didn't. And after King Saul died, he mourned for David like he mourned his own son, who also tried to kill him.
He mourned for Saul, right? He mourned Saul. David mourned for Saul, right?
Yeah.
Good. Good job. I'm pleased. Luke, what did you do?
Father, I learned that when you go to confession, it's not the priest who forgives you. And it's not just God who forgives you. It's God through the priest. And an example is, like, if you're playing pool, somebody's moving the cue stick. And the person moving the cue stick is God, and the priest is the cue stick. I also learned about which sacraments take away sin. Baptism, confession, anointing of the sick, and the mass. But the mass only takes away venials.
Very good, Luke.
I also learned
that, yes.
I also learned that why we should go to confession. One, because Jesus wants us to do it this way. He doesn't just want us to go up to just saying it. He wants us to go to a priest and confess. And then the second reason is to take away sins and to restore the grace lost by sin. The third one is to have a clean soul when receiving the Eucharist, to grow in virtue, and to connect with Jesus.
There's more. Go. Keep going.
That in the Bible, it talks about some Bible quotes in the that talk about forgiveness. When Jesus, when the Pharisees tell Jesus that only God can forgive sins, and then Jesus shows them that he can forgive sins because he's God, and he forgives the paralyzed man of his sins, and he also gave that power to man. By giving it to Peter, who passed it down to popes, bishops, and priests. And then also I learned that forgive and forget is from hell.
No. No, I never said that. It's not true. Just because you forget doesn't mean it's from hell. You know, people, some people are just forgetful. They get dementia, Alzheimer's, okay? But no, I can say that. But still, you did very, I think this is the best you've done. And same with Andrew. I'm very pleased. You guys were well prepared. Okay? Sophia, what did you learn?
Father Francis, this is what I learned from last week's class. I learned that we are called to love and to forgive, and that you can never forgive too much, and you can never love too much. And I also learned that Saul tried to kill David, and David had two chances to kill Saul, but he didn't. And a couple of David's like followers, they asked David if they could kill Saul, but David said that he said no, and he said that this is good for me. And I also learned that why we should go to confession is to absolve our sins. And I also learned that God can forgive sins, and it's not just the priest who forgives your sins. It's God or Jesus through the priest. And Jesus said that we should go to confession, and that if you really love Jesus, you will go to confession, and a lay person can help you get to confession. And that's all I learned.
That's a lot. Okay, three really good mini tests. I don't know what to call this, but all three of you did very good. Okay, no pressure on Claire, but what did you learn, Claire?
I learned that forgiving is not letting go. How often you should forgive? You should forgive like all the time when somebody like hurt you. You should forgive them, and Jesus said in the book of Matthew to forgive 70 times 7.
Yes. Good. All right. I'm really pleased with the Santanas. Good job. All right, now we're here with Madeline. What did you learn, Madeline?
I learned that we are given the power to forgive when we are baptized. It is the theological virtue of love.
Stop! You said we're given the power to forgive. Finish the sentence.
We are given the power to forgive when we are baptized.
To forgive who or what?
The person who's done you wrong.
That's right. To forgive the sinner. All right. Well, you said we were given the power to forgive, but you didn't make clear whether it's the sinner. That's why I stopped you. Okay. So you knew the full answer, but you didn't say it. You got to say the full answer. You got to say the full sentence. We've been given the command, okay, power to forgive others, to forgive those who hurt us. We were given that power in the sacrament because we were given the power to love, charity. Keep going.
And we are given the power to keep loving that person. And it is a supernatural desire to want him to go to heaven. And you will do whatever it takes to get that person to heaven, no matter the cost. And Jesus said to forgive 70 times 70 times a day, which is 4,900 times. But you can't ever love or forgive someone too much. And an example of forgiveness is Maria Goretti, who was badly abused by her neighbor, Alessandro Sereni. And he stabbed her 14 times and because she refused him and died the next day. But on her deathbed, she said to the priest, "I forgive Alessandro and I want him to live with me in heaven forever."
Isn't that beautiful? Yes. So a few of you have given that example. It's a very good example. Good, Madeline. Very good. And now we have Sarah Leach. What did you learn?
Father Francis, last week I learned that forgiveness is in the will. And I also learned that if you don't know forgiveness, you don't know Jesus.
That's right. And if you don't know Jesus, you don't know God. And Cameron. Cameron, what did you learn?
I learned that forgiving is not wholly in the will. It's also forgiving the wrongdoer is also in your actions and your imagination and in your words.
That's right. And your mind. All right. Now we've done two rows. We're on the third row. The Bear Brothers are back. Joseph, did you do the homework from 2 weeks ago?
Yes, Father Francis.
And same with Peter?
Yes, Father Francis.
Okay, Joseph, tell me what you learned from last week's class.
Father, I learned from last week's class that for a priest to forgive the penitent needs to have a contrite spirit, and the priest needs to say the exact words of absolution, that being, "I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." I also learned that the sacraments for forgiving sin are confession, the anointing of the sick, the Eucharist, and baptism.
That was well said, Joseph. And how you said it was quite good. All right, Peter, what did you learn?
Father Francis, from last week, I learned that when you forgive somebody, you can still have anger towards the wrong that somebody did to you, but not towards that person. And a good example of forgiveness is Joseph and his brothers. When Joseph's brothers came to Egypt for grain, Joseph could have shown them anger and could have enslaved them in Egypt for all the right reasons, but he showed them mercy and took them as well as his father into Egypt.
Well said. Good job, both of you. I'm pleased. All right, let's go with Rachel. What did you learn, Rachel?
This week, I learned that there are two kinds of forgiveness, forgiving the sin and forgiving the sinner. And I also did some research, and I found that St. John Vianney, he forgave many people and brought helped people find the joy of God's forgiveness.
Do you know any specific people he forgave? Was it parishioners or superiors or who?
Well, I know that, like, there was this lady that had, like, a bunch of kids, and she could only go to confession, like, during this small amount of time. And St. John, he came out of the confessional or something and said, like, "You there, come on, it's time for your confession," or something, so that she was able to go to confession.
She didn't hurt him, right? So that's not an example of him forgiving someone, right? That's something different, right? Okay. All right, Rachel. But yeah, I'm sure he forgave a lot of people. especially when they first came into ours. Okay, Christopher Kapp, tell me what you learned. Christopher Kapp, what did you learn?
I didn't do the homework, Father.
Okay, all right. Okay, Claire Gomez, what did you learn?
Forgiveness is one of the two spiritual powers in the will, but it also involves the whole being. And an example of forgiveness in the Bible in the Old Testament is King David, because he had many chances to forgive Saul, but he had many chances to kill Saul, but he didn't. And confession is forgiving sins, but it is also a sacrament which restores the grace that was lost when the sin was first committed. And that is also why confession is a healing sacrament, which involves faith, hope, and love. And in James chapter 5, it says to confess sins to one another because it's a step toward healing. And every sacrament is a personal encounter with God.
Good. Well said. I like that. Okay, the Latham girls, full of energy. Julia, what did you learn?
Father, I learned that forgiveness is in the will and in the mind.
Okay. And Rebecca, what did you learn?
I learned that Jesus never stops loving us and that we were given the power to forgive.
All right. We're on the last row. Abraham Gallardo, what did you learn?
Father Francis, I learned that we are commanded by Christ to forgive all who hurt us. And to forgive someone, you have to desire that they get to heaven. And I learned that I can use my prayers, words, and actions to help them become a saint. And forgiveness is not letting go of the memory. And this is the spiritual work of mercy.
It's not just about letting go, right? And it is the work of mercy. Good job, Abraham. You're doing really well at this. Congratulations. Okay, Essers, what did you learn? Marianne, what did you learn?
I learned that there are two types of forgiveness. One, forgiving the sinner, and two, forgiving the sin. Forgiving the sinner means to love the sinner and to want them to go to heaven and to have unconditional charity towards them. But forgiving the sin means to go to confession and have Jesus through the priest absolve you from your sins. And I also learned one example of forgiveness in the Bible is David, when he had two chances to kill King Saul, but he didn't. And when King Saul died, he mourned just as much for King Saul as he mourned for his friend Jonathan.
Good job. Now, did Teresa do the homework for the last 2 weeks? Do you know?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she's done all the homework. All right, Angelica, what did you learn?
I learned that you should pray for the person that hurt you, and if you do not forgive the person that hurt you, then you were hurt spiritually and physically. And I also learned that if you do not know forgiveness, then you do not know God. I also learned that in the Old Testament, David went into King Saul's tent and took a spear and a water jug, but he did not kill King Saul. I also learned later when King Saul died, he wept just as much as he wept for his best friend Jonathan.
Very good. Very good. don't know. I was going to say something. I don't know. Okay. Good job, Esther's. Joseph Wilde, what did you learn?
I learned that the sacraments that take sins are baptism, confession, and the Eucharist. I learned that the sacraments, the healing sacraments, are anointing of the sick, confession, and the Mass takes away venial sins.
Good. Yes, you're good at speaking. Now we have one Aquino. We should have more. I see Jedi. What did you learn?
Me?
Yeah, Jedi.
Father Francis, I learned that we have to go to confession to clean our souls and to make sure all the our sins get away. And we should tell most of our sins to the priest. And if we didn't tell all of our sins to the priest, the next time you can tell him the other sins that you did.
You tell him all the sins you remember, right? Okay?
Yes.
Good. Are there any other Aquinos? Because you're the only one.
Yeah, because Justice is in a class right now, and then Gianna and Jonah, they're at like a farm.
Okay. So you're representing the Aquino family. It's all on
yes,
your shoulders.
Yes, we all did the homework.
You did. You all did the homework.
Yeah, we all did the homework.
All right. We got one more left. Diego, what did you learn?
Hold on one moment. Sorry. I learned that King David showed a really good example in forgiveness in Saul chapter 24, verse 26, Second Samuel. It said how when Saul died, Saul tried to kill David twice. David could have killed Saul easily, but he spared his life. And in 2 Samuel, when David heard that Samuel was dead, he mourned, fasted, and wept for him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Diego. Good job. Did anybody not get called? Raise your hand, jump up and down, show me. Okay, show me that you did the homework. Okay, good. It sounded good. You're keeping on top of this. This is the hardest part of the year, huh? This is where people start getting tired and... Okay, a few announcements and then we'll pray. You know that the Therians had their eighth baby. A girl, 8 pounds, 5 ounces. Her name is Mary Gold. Okay, M-A-R-I-G-O-L-D. So that's one good thing about conservative Republicans. We're not in power, but we're the ones that are bringing more children into the world. The Democrats, the liberals, they don't tend to do that. Okay, so keep those babies coming. What else? Oh yeah, you want to know my, when I say Mass is on the weekend, right now it's up in the air, okay? I can't tell you right now. This weekend, Father Jewell will be speaking at all the Masses. He and his brother are both, Divine Mercy Fathers, right? And they live in Alta Loma and go to St. Peter and Paul Parish. But they were connected with Father Marks. They were connected with our parish. And so the past few years, they take turns giving a mission here at our parish. So this year, it's Father Jewell, the younger brother. His older brother is Father Joseph. Okay, so they're blood brothers and they're religious brothers. Pretty cool, huh? Okay, so he's normally out in the eastern part of the country, but he'll be with us, I think, a week. Okay, doing a mission. So he'll be hearing lots of confessions and I may be pulled in to help him out. I heard 11 hours of confessions last week between St. Martin de Porres and this parish. Okay, you sinner, they're keeping me busy. All right, one thing to mention on the handout for today. It's front and back. On the back side, okay, so you got A, B, C, D, E, F, G. G is the last one, the one on patience. And you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So you go down to the bottom of the page and you have C. And it says set of the saints. And then you don't know what that is. That means Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. It's the book of Revelation, okay? That did not come out on the paper. I don't know what I was thinking, but it wasn't the right thing. So the saints on earth, the Bible quote is Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Good. So we're ready to start. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, only two boards today.
So you said that in order for your sins to take morning confession, the priest has to say the word of absolution. But I've been in some confessions where the priest has shortened it to like one sentence instead of saying the whole thing. Does that still count?
He should say the whole thing, okay? But I think it suffices that he just says that last sentence, okay? Yeah, priests take shortcuts in confession. And so more and more come to our parish. Well, enough of that. I don't want to get into that. Okay, so we got another spiritual work of mercy. This is not a grizzly bear. Okay, this means to bear with suffering. To bear with, okay? What is it? These days, we talk about enabling, and it's used in a negative sense. You know, your husband is drinking too much, and you don't like it, but you buy the alcohol for him. Well, you're enabling him. You're making him able to do it. Okay? Bearing with the sufferings of others does not have to do with that negative sense of enabling, okay? Those are two different things. It's not to enable in the negative sense, that is, to make able, to provide the means to do something, okay? To continue their addiction. To be an accessory to their sin. Okay, that's not bearing with. All right, what is it? There are several words you can use to describe it. Okay, to tolerate, to carry, you know, to carry the burden, to sustain, to suffer, to withstand, to put up with the sin, to put up with their weakness, to put up with their burden, their annoyance, the annoyance of another person, to put up with it in your mind and your heart. And for heart, I mean two things, the spiritual part, a spiritual part, the will, and the psychological part, the senses, to put up with it emotionally, in your memory, your imagination, okay? To bear with it also with your external senses. I had to change some stuff 3 times in a 12-hour period, and it was really dirty, okay? So I had to bear with that in my sense of smell and what I saw, okay? So that's included in this, the senses. St. Angela Merici talks about, she writes to her religious sister. She was a superior of the first women's teaching, a religious women's teaching order in the whole world. And so she's the mother superior, and she's telling the other religious sisters in her community to have all their sisters in each, you know, to have in the sister's heart the members of her community, to have all her sisters in her heart and to bear them in their heart, her heart, to bear with their annoyances, whatever it is that bothers you, bear to carry that in your heart. Okay, that's in the breviary for her feast day, January 27th, and it's the second reading, all right? That she wrote that. So that's what's prayed every year on this day by the church. How are we to bear? It's the same with the other answers, you know, how do you forgive, how do you teach, you know, with mercy. All these spiritual works of mercy, how do you do it? You do it with mercy. Who do you forgive? Who do you bear? Whose annoyances do you bear with? Well, you start with those closest to you. You start with your brothers and sisters, okay? Family members, that's where it starts. That's the first step. Your immediate family, and then your extended family, those things that annoy you, you bear with. Sometimes you can correct. Sometimes you're in a position to correct. You're in a position to teach. But it only goes so far. Some people are just really hard-headed, hard-hearted. They're not going to listen to anything you say. They're so proud and stupid, okay? So no matter what you say, it's not going to help them. What you can do is to keep praying, and you can bear with their suffering. That can be part of your prayer. There are parents who gave everything they could to their children, and then their parents just threw it all away. They throw away their faith. They throw away their moral life. They just do all kinds of really stupid stuff. And the parents try to correct. They try to teach. It doesn't do any good. The more they say, the further away their children get. They're like lost sheep. So what the parents have to do is keep on praying, maybe for years, and to bear with the sins of their children, sins that are leading them to hell, you know, are what sins that merit hell, okay, to bear with that. And that's a work of mercy. That's not useless. Don't waste your suffering. Okay? It's one of the greatest wastes there is. We're very much into recycling. You know, don't waste plastic. Don't waste paper. Don't waste glass. in the aluminum. But then we could turn around and waste our suffering instead of bearing with the suffering, to offer it up. Okay, so you start with your family, and if you can do that, then you can take the next step, bearing with those in your neighborhood. Their music is too loud. They have these wild parties and all these misfits walking around, and you feel kind of unsafe. You bear with those in your class at school. You don't have to worry about this too much if you're homeschooled. But with the things you got to put up with in school can be really terrible, okay? What people do in school, that what they say, what they do, the lack of respect, the stuff that they try to show you on their cell phone, it just gets really nasty and just sinful. So you quietly bear with that. And then, you know, your dad, maybe your mom has to work. Sometimes work conditions can be pretty lousy. People that don't care, they don't work. They want money for nothing. They want to be paid for doing nothing. They just do the same mistake over and over. No matter how many times you tell them, they just don't get it right. So the workplace can be a place of bearing with the faults of others. Now, when you can do all that, then you can go to step three and extend your circle of bearing with the faults of others. Okay? In your parish, in your diocese, in the Church Universal, what you hear from bishops in different parts of the world, their lack of leadership, the stupid things they say, you just wonder, where's your faith? Okay, so if you bear with that stuff. I don't know if that's the right word, but just as a citizen, to put up with the faults of those in your city, to put up with the faults of Governor Newsom, okay, and Nancy Pelosi, okay. Those two people should never have gotten into office, okay. They're corrupting our state. And we don't need to say much about what's going on in our country, but to bear with that stuff. I mean, it's the worst it's ever been. The fake government we have is the worst we've ever had. Okay, it's right out of hell. Okay, so to pray, to bear with, okay. You know what? No, I did it. Okay. So, next question, why should we do this? Why? Because Jesus said so. And he said, take my yoke upon your shoulders. Not an egg yoke. That's Y-O-L-K. This is Y-O-K-E. A yoke, we don't know what that is because we're city slickers. Okay, but farmers, they know what that means. You want to plow your field, you need animals, big, hardy animals, to go before the plow and pull the plow. But how do you attach, what do you use to attach your plow to the oxen? You need a yoke. And one size does not fit all, okay? The yoke has to be custom made. It has to be made to fit the ox. Every ox is a different size. If the oxen do not have a yoke that fits, it's going to rub against the bones, the shoulder bones. It's going to hurt. It's going to bleed. It's going to bruise. And after a while, they're not going to work. It's too painful. Okay? So you need a customized yoke for your oxen. And Jesus says, you know, take my yoke upon your shoulders, my cross, okay? This is custom made. This is for you and no one else. It's a cross. It's a yoke that fits, okay? And your yoke is different than someone else's yoke. Someone else might have an easier yoke or a harder yoke. And what's easy for one person can be hard for another, okay? Everybody gets a customized yoke. So Jesus talked about bearing with other people's faults by using the image of a yoke. But he didn't just say so, Jesus did so. And we'll get to that later, down here, okay? Number two, if you don't carry your cross, Jesus said you can't be his disciple. Okay, yeah, you automatically become a disciple of Jesus in the sacrament of baptism, but you also got to live it out. Okay, it's one thing to be a Christian by name, in name, but to be a practicing Christian. Okay, so you have fake President Biden who claims he's Catholic, but he's not practicing. Okay, he's doing the opposite. So in that way, he's not a Catholic. He shouldn't be receiving the Eucharist. I said that before. Okay? And same with bearing your burden. We're given the grace to do that by baptism, but we got to live it, to really live up to the name Catholic, to live up to the name Christian. SP means St. Paul, right? St. Paul says to carry one another's burdens, to bear with the faults of others. That's in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Okay, so these are some examples why. There's more, we don't have time. Here are some examples. Okay, I gave one non-biblical example. You don't have to use it if you don't want to. Mahatma Gandhi. It's pretty inspiring. You know, I don't know how he was as a person, but as a leader, boy, was he good. He was able to be a really good example for those in India who were being persecuted. They wanted to be independent of Britain. And he was able to lead these people into protesting peacefully, not violently, to bear with the sins, the faults, the whatever it was of the English. And at times they were attacked, they were beaten, they were put in jail. They did not fight back. They bore with it. He told them, and he had the press on his side. That's one reason why they got their independence. They had the press filming all this and sending it around the world, and so the whole world knew what Mahatma Gandhi was doing and what the English were doing to his the Indian people. Mahatma Gandhi said to the English, "We will match your ability to inflict suffering with our ability to endure it." What a statement. What a good example for Christians. He never became a Christian, but he was a good example for Christians. You know, there's a movie about it, okay? Well, you weren't even born when that movie came out. Okay, so that's a non-biblical, non-Christian example. Okay. In some ways, non-Christians do better than we do at this kind of stuff. Biblically, we got all kinds of examples. I don't have time to give all the details. The book of Tobit, his kinsmen, his fellow Jews, in chapter 1, they were disobeying God. They weren't doing what the law says. So that was demoralizing. If you're one of the few of only Jews that are following the law, this can be really discouraging, seeing those around you that aren't. And then to make it worse, in chapter 2, these same Jews that aren't following the law, they're laughing at Tobit for doing these works of mercy. Okay? They laugh at him for burying the dead. There he goes again. Holy Joe, goody two-shoes. He thinks he's so holier than the rest of us. And they're laughing at him, they're mocking him. And so this was part of what Tobit had to bear with. His own people. Okay, you would expect to bear with the sins of your enemies, not those in the same religion, but that's what he had to put up with, his own kinsmen, those he lived next to. Something similar with Job. Job gets all this suffering in his life. Okay, one thing after the next, all kinds of terrible stuff. And his friends, at the beginning, it looks like these are compassionate people. They wait several days before they even speak to him. They just sit with him. They're present with him. It looks really good, but it turns bad. His friends, more and more, the more they talk, the less they seem to be his friends. They keep saying, you know, if you're suffering, it must have been your fault. It must have been because you sinned. And he just keeps saying it over and over and over. And Job knows it's not because he sinned. He did not sin. It's not because of, he's not suffering because of any sins he committed, okay? So he had to bear with these friends. And at the end of the story, God is upset with his friends and he punishes them. He has Job pray for his friends and offer sacrifice for his friends. We all know the story of Jeremiah, the man of sorrows, his whole life as a prophet. He had to bear with the sins of his people and bear with the punishments that came down upon the people for their sins. He had to bear with all that. Ezekiel, something similar. He bore the sins of his people. It says that in chapter 4. In the book, the second book of Maccabees, you have the martyrdom of the seven brothers. One by one, each of these brothers was tortured and killed. And so they had to bear with the sins of those who were tormenting them. Killing them, and then the mother had to bear with watching each of her sons one by one being tortured and killed. So she had to bear with the most of the eight people, you know, the seven brothers. It was just, you know, bearing with the suffering and death that they had to go through, but she had to see it all. She's like a foreshadowing of Jesus. See what Jesus all went through. Okay, Mary, I don't have Mary on the board, but she, you know, you can put her down here, you know, at the foot of the cross, Blessed Virgin Mary, seeing her son suffer and die. Later on, I added this. This should have been on the top. Exodus chapter 18. Moses. Day after day, people were lining up to see Moses, to have him intervene, make a judgment regarding, you know, problems in the family or problems within the tribe or fellow in different tribes. Some of these were little cases, some of them were bigger, and it was just so burdensome to Moses being out there every day for hours listening to one complaint, one case after the next, all day long. And so his uncle, he said, you can't do this, Brian. You can't bear with all this on your own. You need to have other people help you. Appoint men in the community who have common sense, who can make good judgments, who can decide cases, okay? Appoint men to make judgments for little cases, you know, just within the family or, you know, things that are small. And then judges that can handle bigger cases, and then appoint other judges to handle really big cases. And then you, Moses, can be on the top and make the final decisions on the really big decisions, okay? And so this was to lighten Moses' burden by having other men help him out.
And pay attention to anyone.
Of a bearing with others. So that's in the Old Testament. The New Testament, obviously Jesus is the role model of bearing with the sufferings, of bearing with the sins, the weaknesses of others throughout his 33 years on earth. You know, every day, just bearing with the sins of the world. Just carry that, you know, within his heart, and then on Good Friday, carrying that on his shoulders. You know, his passion on Holy Thursday evening and all of Good Friday. And this was all foreshadowed in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Now, there's different men in the Bible called Simon. In the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the New Testament, we all know Peter's name had been Simon, Simon Peter. But there was a foreigner from Cyrene, whatever, Simon of Cyrene, that's right. And when Jesus was carrying his cross, it was so heavy, and he had lost so much blood, he was so exhausted, I mean, he could hardly stand. There's no way he by himself could have carried that cross all the way to Golgotha, all right? It would have never happened. So one of the Roman soldiers just pulled out, you know, someone from the crowd, someone he could see that was not a Jew, okay? And so he called out, Simon, you helped Jesus carry his cross. So Simon bore a good part of the weight of the cross on the last part of this journey, okay? Sometimes we're called to help carry someone else's cross. They can't carry that whole cross themselves. Okay. So that's Mark chapter 15. And then St. Paul, in Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, he talks to those people about bearing with the false, the weaknesses, the sins of others. Okay. So at least four times in his letter. So it's very important to St. Paul. This work of mercy is very important to St. Paul. Okay, any questions on the first board? We're ripping through this pretty quick. It's pretty much me just reading what's on the board. You know, I already did all the thinking. I don't have to do much thinking now. Just read the board. Okay, so now we're on F, bearing with is linked to offering it up. It's linked to carrying one's cross. It's linked to taking on Christ's yoke. It's linked to endurance, it's linked to long suffering, And this is the word I want to focus on for the rest of, almost the rest of the class, down to, yeah, all for the rest of this class. Now it's all G, patience. Okay, bear with one another patiently. To bear wrongs patiently. So we're going from bearing to bearing wrongs patiently. Where am I getting this? What sources am I getting to add the word patience to bearing? Here are my four sources, all right? The Catholic Encyclopedia by Stravinskis. It says that this work of mercy, bearing, bearing with the faults of others means showing patience to sinners and those in error. In the Catechism of the Catholic Encyclopedia of 1907, volume 10, under the word patience, page 199, to bear wrongs patiently. Okay, and then the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2447, bearing wrongs patiently, that's the work of mercy that we're talking about for today's class. And then in 1 Peter, to bear the beating patiently, he's writing to slaves, okay? And he says for them to bear their beatings from their masters patiently. Okay. And then there's more about it in James chapter 5. Okay. So those are my four sources. Why I'm adding the word patience to bearing, to bear with others patiently. That's how I'm going from bearing to bearing patiently. It's these four sources. What's the etymology of the word patience? It comes from the Latin patientia. That's a noun. And from the noun, we have the verb pati. It means to suffer. I've asked hundreds of people, what is patience? Not one could tell me patience means to suffer. Not one. They'll say counting to 10. They'll say walk away because you're so angry and come back later when you're not so angry. They'll talk about all these things. Sometimes that works. Sometimes that's the thing to do. Other times it's not. But patience always has to do with suffering. To accept the suffering of the moment, to be willing to suffer. Sarah, you have a question or something to say.
What was the verb potty mean again? What did that mean again?
To suffer. Potty means to suffer. Paciencia means patience. It's a noun. And from the noun, you have from the verb, you have the noun, potty, to suffer. What's the definition of patience? Well, it's not a theological virtue, faith over charity, so it must be a moral virtue. It's the moral virtue of suffering evils. So that's the first part of the definition. It has to do with suffering. Carry the cross, to tolerate evils, the weaknesses of others, the ignorance of others, the sins of others. And the second part of the definition is to do it with an inner calmness. Where do I get this part here? Okay, you can see patience has to do with suffering, but why throw in calmness? Well, here are my sources. I have four. Okay. St. Augustine, here's number one. St. Augustine, in his treatise on patience, he links patience with calmness. Okay. And St. Thomas Aquinas uses that for his definition of patience. To suffer with calmness. So St. Thomas Aquinas, Summa Theologia, part 2, question 136, answer number one and answer number four. He links patience with calmness and then something else. He says that patience has to do with the emotion of sadness, not getting too sad, not letting the sadness overwhelm you. Okay, so St. Thomas Aquinas links it to sadness. That's not how we see patience. We connect patience with anger, don't we, huh? Don't be so angry, be patient. But he links it to sadness. Now, Psalm 137, which is in the Office of Readings, that can't be right. Oh my goodness, what did I do there? This would be, I think, Matins. It's not the Office of Reading, it's Matins on Tuesday, week 2. The English translation from 1975 in the Divine Office. Psalm 37 links patience with calmness. And it links it with anger. Not sadness, but anger. I'm going to go with Psalm 37 here, not St. Thomas Aquinas. Okay? I want to link patience with anger. And this is my source. Okay? Psalm 37. Okay? It says to refrain from anger. Don't let your anger get too much. Excessive, out of control. Okay. And then the New American Bible on Psalm 37, it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently before him. So stillness, calmness, same thing. All right. Okay. In the Divine Office, it uses the word calmness. And in the New American Bible, it uses the word being still, right? So two of the numbers, letters C and D, they both have to do with Psalm 37. Just looking at that from the Bible, looking at it from the Divine Office, okay? So that's, why we can link calmness to patience. Okay, it's not just bearing with the sufferings of others, but to do it with an inner calmness. There might be a storm out there, you have people yelling and screaming. Okay, but even in a storm, you have a part of the storm which is calm. That's the part of the storm you want to be in, the part that's calm. Not the rest of the storm, because that's destructive, damaging. Okay. The genus. You put patience into something bigger, a bigger category. Well, there's four cardinal virtues. Patience has to be linked to one of those four cardinal virtues. It's not linked directly to, you know, to prudence or to justice or temperance. It's linked to fortitude, also called courage. Patience is linked to fortitude, the cardinal virtue of fortitude. Now, fortitude, courage has two parts. Pay attention, Latham and sisters. Latham, Julia, Becky, you're not even here in the class. Pay attention. Stop talking and pay attention. You didn't even hear me talking to you. Pay attention. I've had to correct you a few times now over the weeks. Pay attention. There's two kinds of fortitude, two kinds of courage. One is active. In the face of suffering, at times, you gotta fight back. You gotta throw punches, you gotta shoot your gun, you got to defend yourself, defend your family, defend others, okay? A good example would be the Maccabees. When the Greeks were trying to take away their religion, they fought back. They were willing to die for their faith. Okay, they were fighters and lovers. They loved the Jewish religion so much, they gave up a comfortable life. They could have just gone with the status quo, just go along with the program, but they were willing to lose everything to protect their fellow Jews from Greek oppression, okay? That's a good thing. Okay, so that's one kind of courage, fighting back for progress, meaning to make things better, to go from bad to good, to go from good to better, to make improvement. Now, there's another kind of fortitude. Some people don't like this word, passive. It's to endure the suffering that's thrown at you. You don't fight back, okay? You receive the suffering, you accept the suffering, you embrace the suffering, okay? Kind of like Mahatma Gandhi did. It's what the martyrs have done for 2,000 years. That's also courage. Both of these are courage, not just one, not just the other. It's two ways of expressing courage. Jesus took this route, all right? Some people would say this ideally is the better route, but be careful. Sometimes not taking this route can be cowardly, running away from danger instead of manning up to it, instead of fighting back. People just turn coward. Oh, it's against my religion. I don't want to hurt anybody. Man. Sometimes this is just cowardly not to do this. All right. Now, priests are not to be in this position. They're not really to fight back. A priest is called to take this position. All right. Same with bishops, any cleric, okay? So this is patience so far, 1 through 5. Now, number 6, we have Christian patience. That's more than regular patience. This is a cut above. What is it? It's almost the same as this, but you add a word. It's the moral virtue of Christian suffering, to suffer like Christ with an inner calmness. What does that mean? Well, in relation to the Trinity, that's what this triangle means, in relation to God the Father, to offer one's suffering to God the Father, to unite your sufferings to the sufferings of Christ, his passion, his work of redemption, the work of saving souls, the work of helping people get to heaven, to ask the Holy Spirit, help me to be patient. I'm about to enter a situation where I tend not to be patient. Help me to take a step forward in being patient. Help me to grow in the virtue of patience. Help me to persevere in patience. Notice I said, you know, praying to the Holy Spirit to help you before you enter the situation. A lot of times we wait until we're in the heat of the situation. We're right in the middle of it and the emotions are flying. It's kind of late to be doing something. It's better to anticipate. You see it coming. You have foresight. I know when I see this person, I know when I am in this situation, I'm likely to lose it. Patience is likely to go out the window. That's when you start doing something about it. Prepare. Pray. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Think. What should I say going into this situation? What should I say to this person? What should I not say? What should I do? What should I not do? How should I say it? Okay, picture yourself saying it the way it should be said. Either firm or gentle, whatever. Now you're a step ahead. If you have a bad habit of being impatient when you're around this person or that person, you're a step behind. Okay, you're automatically a step behind. You have a bad habit. But if you prepare ahead of time, you're a step ahead. It's always better to be a step ahead than a step behind. This is called being proactive. This is what coaches teach their athletes. Think ahead. Maybe when you learn to drive, you'll be instructed to think ahead. That's why I can drive fast on the road. You know, sometimes I'm the fastest car on the freeway, and I never get in these accidents or hurt anybody. I'm thinking ahead. All right? I think ahead. Remember this story I told you about bicycling, and I would get a whole series of red lights, one red light after the next, and I would just go ballistic. I'd get so angry, I'd yell and scream, look like a crazy man. And one day, I don't know how this started, but one day I said, the next red light I get, I offered up for such and such an intention. I came to the red light, I was a step ahead. I didn't get angry, I didn't blow up. And after that light turned green, I said, the next red light I get, I offer it up for that same intention. And I just kept doing it over and over. The anger level just went down, down, down so fast, you know? Now it's not a problem, okay? And once I learned my lesson, from God, he was trying to teach me a lesson, and I finally got it. It took a long time. It's amazing. I hardly ever get a series of red lights. It's very unusual. Okay. Now I can work on other things. There's bigger things to work on. So I know this works. I know firsthand this works. And I give this as a penance from time to time. Be proactive. Don't wait till you're in the heat of the situation. It's a bit too late. Think ahead. Okay? So this has to do with the Holy Trinity. Christian patience, means Christian suffering, offer it up to God the Father, united to the sufferings of Christ, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to be patient. Okay? This links you to the Trinity. This is from out of love of God that you do this. Okay? Mercy has to do with love. So you got to have love regarding bearing with. You got to have love, this charity, you know, regarding patience. Okay, so it's directed to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and your neighbor, to offer one suffering for the salvation of souls. The person that annoys you, okay, day after day, week after week, year after year, to offer your suffering maybe for that person, right? Instead of complaining and pity party and yelling and screaming, to offer it up. Pray for that person and to bear with that person to offer up that suffering for the good of that person. St. Paul, he says he bears with the sufferings of others in order to share in Jesus's passion, to participate in the work of salvation, the work of redemption. So he's a role model of this. Okay, so this is very important. Love is patient. It's the first thing St. Paul says about love. Impatience is one of the top sins I hear in the confessional. Most people are confessing impatience. Not one of them can tell me what it is. Rachel.
Did you say St. Paul was a role model of again?
A role model of bearing with the sufferings of others, of carrying his cross, offering up his suffering for the good of the church, the salvation of others.
Okay.
Read it yourself. Do that. Okay. So where is patience in the Bible? Here are, again, there's four here, four here, four here. So in the Bible, it says love is patient. We all know this one, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's said of God the Father. God the Father is patient. According to St. Paul in his letter to the Romans, it's said of the saints on earth who are patient, you know, in Revelation chapter 14. And it's said to us, for us to be patient, according to James's letter chapter 5. We are called to be patient. Okay? So I did it. I did it. It's 10 o'clock. That's pretty good for me. Normally it's after 10. No, that's after 11, right? That clock is behind by an hour. It's 11.
No, it's 10:55.
It's on time.
That's the right time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It says 5 to 10, so that is behind. That's behind an hour, isn't it? Yeah, it's just like some of the other clocks here, they're an hour behind. Okay, any questions on the material, on the boards, anything I said? All right, so next week it's gonna be on the spiritual work number 7, praying, praying for others. And I've already done that lesson plan. It's already photocopied. And I've also done the lesson plan for the following week. I'm adding an 8th spiritual work of mercy. I can't wait for that on preserving one from miseries. Okay, I'm really looking forward to that. Okay, Sophia, you're on.
Father Francis, I was wondering which mass you're doing on Sunday.
Yeah, I said that at the beginning of class. I don't know for sure. I'm sure I'm doing the 6:30 Sunday mass, but as far as the 5 p.m. Saturday, the 12:30 Sunday, I'm not sure. We're not sure yet, okay? It partly has to do with the missionary priest. So you'll just have to call. We'll have to call the office by tomorrow. Tomorrow will be Friday. Friday we should know, hopefully. If not Friday morning, then Friday afternoon. Okay, we should know. All right, anything else? Chris?
I just wanna let you guys know tomorrow is St. Joseph and that's my feast day.
I thought your name was Chris.
Yeah, but my middle name is St. Joseph.
Aha! Very good. Yeah. Okay. Now we are enlightened. Thank you. So let's pray, and then we're done. We'll finish before 11. A miracle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to learn the works of mercy. Better know them, maybe better love them, maybe better live them, and be able to teach them to others. We ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay.
Thank you, Father Francis.
Bye, Father Francis.
Bye.
Bye, Father Francis.